KPFK.
Won't you join the party and call us right now with your pledge of support in honor of our 66th birthday?
As you may know, public media is under threat. But because of you, KPFK is still in the fight.
Nonviolently, of course.
You know, pacifists and all.
Please donate today to keep KPFK independent and strong for generations to come.
Pledge securely online at kpfk.org/donate.
Or call us at
818-985-5735
and press option 2.
Happy birthday, KPFK. KPFK.
No, I'm still standing better than.
FM, KPFK, Los Angeles.
From the icy cold curves of Angeles Crest to the sunny shores of PCH and around the world on kpfk.org, this is The Car Show, broadcasting every Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. here on KPFK, 90.7 FM, Los Angeles, for over 52 years. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn of AutoWeek.com. Again, please just go to AutoWeek.com, click on my articles. That's the only reason I'm on this show. I am joined this week and every week by our staff attorney specializing in automotive law, a member of the Motor Press Guild Association, and the owner of not one but two Mazdas, Michelle Spencer. Welcome, Michelle. Michelle, you have to say, I'm glad to be here.
Hey, Mark, I'm glad to be here with you again. I missed last week, but I'm back.
Even if you're not glad to be here, you have to say you are. It's like so many things in life. Just you know, fake it. And
well, I'm glad to be back.
I'm glad you are back because it was just Carl last time. So glad you made it back. And this week we have our old friend, former head of Trans Am Racing for Ford, back when that title really meant something. Maybe he'll tell us a couple of stories. Former electric car product engineer at Nissan, who has also worked at Mazda and who knows where else, a guy with an actual engineering degree, Dean Case. Dean, welcome to The Car Show.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Michelle.
It is always nice to have you, Dean. Dean is currently involved in any number of good causes, and he will talk about one of them in just a minute. But first, we need you to participate in a good cause. That's right. It is sort of the summer fun drive, but it is not just the general generic summer fun drive. This time, we need your help in propping up the actual antenna up on top of Mount Wilson that is broadcasting this signal. It's doing that beep, 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 beep sound right now across Southern California. It hits at 110,000 watts when it's not even trying. I understand it gets up to like 113,000 watts. That is more than twice the output of, I think, any other radio station in Southern California, perhaps in the world. The station has a matching campaign to raise funds for replacing the aging and deteriorating transmitter atop Mount Wilson. In order to keep the signal from faltering, it needs to be replaced. And in order for it to be replaced, we need some money, basically. Your support is how we're supposed to say that, but it comes down to money. A generous anonymous donor has already made a $25,000 contribution, so we're halfway there. And with this fund drive, the station is looking for another $25K to get the job done. To make a donation, call KPFK at 818-985-5735 or donate online at kpfk.org/donate. Please do your part. We don't get paid for this. We didn't even pay Dean for doing this. It is just everybody here, almost everybody here is doing this just because they love doing it and they want to get the word out on a bunch of stuff. And if you support this show and the shows before and after it, and any of the other shows you might listen to on KPFK, providing a voice that you will not get anywhere else, bringing you stories and perspectives that nobody else is bringing you, please support KPFK now by calling 818-985-5735 or donate online at kpfk.org/donate. Thank you. Now we're diving right into it, and we are going to begin with our special guest, Dean Case, who's going to tell us about an event coming up. When is this, Dean? It looks like it's tonight. Oh, my goodness.
Tonight. Yes, at Industry Speedway. Most of my career has been in cars, but I love motorcycles. And if you've never seen Speedway, it's pretty wild. Here's a good trivia question I always throw out to people. Who was the first American to ever win a world championship in motorsports? And most people say
Barney Oldfield.
No. Not
Evel
that
Knievel. Far-
What's that?
Evel Knievel.
No,
Phil Hill.
That's the obvious answer is Phil Hill. And if you're talking four wheels, you are correct, Mr. Vaughn. But two wheels, Jack Milne, Speedway Motorcycles, like 1937.
Who knew?
Speedway is interesting because, and people confuse it with flat track sometimes. It's completely different, different bikes, eighth mile dirt track, 500cc singles that run on alcohol. 0 to 60 in under 2 seconds on dirt, eighth mile, four lap sprint races at about 45 seconds. So perfect for the ADD crowd. You can't be bored because the race is over before you can even almost blink. And so we've had a tradition since 2018 of having an SAE Engineers Night at Industry Hill Speedway. Kelly Inman, who runs the event, is just an amazing guy, ex Speedway racer, keeping the sport alive here in Southern California. And, you know, everyone's welcome, but if you're an SAE member or another engineering organization, we've invited our counterparts at SWE, SHIP, NSBE, and some of these other groups to come and join us. It's just a very fun night. And this weekend, this tonight is the legends and heroes. So I've got, you know, guys like Bruce Penhall will be there, a bunch of the legends from the past. So it's just fun. I mean, show up. It's a very family friendly environment, and it's just a lot of fun.
And these are the things I remember on any Sunday. I think the line that Bruce Brown used was flipping it sideways at 120. Is that's what? But of course, you can't go 120 on these things.
That was
half mile oval.
Right. That was for flat track.
Flat track. Okay.
In on any Sunday too, they covered Speedway.
Okay.
And so I believe Bruce Penhall was in the second movie. And like I said, Speedway is interesting because it's not all across the country. It's worldwide. It's very popular in England, Scandinavia, Eastern Europe, Australia, New Zealand, and Southern California.
There you go.
And we've had multiple world champions come out of Southern California.
Wow.
So
is this the reason that they do it? I think I was going to say the same thing as you, Mark. Is this the racing they do at the Costa Mesa Fairgrounds?
Yeah, exact same racing. It's just different track. And at one point, they could make a decent living. They were racing five nights a week between Costa Mesa. They had a speedway track at Ascot years ago. I think occasionally they would run out at Ventura, but you know, like everything else with tracks in Southern California, tracks are disappearing. So Industry and Costa Mesa are the two last ones hanging on Southern California proper. And you know, it's always a noise issue with them, but Puente Hills and everything loves the track and loves what they're bringing in terms of the event. You know, previous years, most of the races were on Wednesday nights, which was kind of dreadful for traffic. And so now the city likes what Kelly and Min and the group are doing. So they'll be racing there on this year's all Saturday nights.
Okay. So that's, and this race you're talking about is tonight, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Racing starts at 7:30. Industry Hills Expo Center. The address that you type into your nav system is 16206 Temple Avenue, La Puente, California. You cannot miss it. More information is available at industryhillspeedway.com. And tell us who, what is SAE SoCal Engineers? That's just all these guys in those groups that you met. IEEE.
Well,
I see you have SEMA and even PRI. Those aren't engineers.
Keep in mind, Southern California section of SAE is the second largest concentration of automotive engineers in the country, Detroit being the 800-pound gorilla, but we're second. And we have a more diverse industry base because we have a lot of aerospace. SAE writes aerospace standards as well. And so we've been collaborating with SEMA in particular. We had an event at the SEMA garage in March. We had 425 students from 30 universities there. And we had 13 companies actively hiring. We had Honda Racing Corporation, Toyota Racing Development. We had Kia. We had Karma. We had Willwood Brakes. We had Motivo. We had a whole bunch of companies that are actively recruiting engineers.
Oh, good. So there is apparently no shortage of engineers.
There is no shortage of engineers, but right now it's a tough job market for entry levels because a lot of companies have put their hiring on pause right now. Just because of all the tariffs, they're not quite certain what's next.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, that sounds like fun. And even if you're not an engineer, you can go to this tonight, Saturday, July 26th, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. SAE SoCal Engineers. Maybe you'll meet the next Dean Case. Who knows?
That's right. No. Yeah.
Will there ever be another Dean Case? I don't think so.
No, it's impossible. They broke the mold, Mark.
They broke
That's
the mold.
It's St. Right. Dean of Carlsbad.
All right. We like you, Dean. That's why we have you on the show. Okay.
Yeah.
Michelle is going to take us out to another Speedway destination tonight. What do you have, Michelle?
Right. If you're not able to make it to Industry Hill Speedway, you can go to the other dirt track and check out some different kind of racing at Paris Auto Speedway out in Paris off the 215 freeway. And tonight's event is called Night of Destruction. And this is the one where they have Mark's favorite, the double-decker race cars. So, yeah, they take an old car, they gut it, then they take another one that's pretty similar in size, and they somehow have them strapped together. One guy drives on the bottom using the accelerator and the brake, and then the other guy's in the top with the steering wheel. And it's just amazing, fun to watch. They also have trailer racing where they go around in the figure eight that they make out of the pits. They have the regular figure eights plus the trailer figure eights. Last year, they had the Paddington Bear attached to the trailer for a couple of the races. And poor Paddington, I think they sewed him back together, but I'm not sure. So that is tonight, and that gets underway at 7, but the gates are open at 5, and tickets are $38 for the adults, $12 for kids, and that's 6 to 12-year-olds, by the way. Seniors, $33. So you get a little discount,
Mark. I could get in for $33.
Yeah. So it's off, like I said, it's off the 215 freeway at Lake Paris Fairgrounds. And you can either purchase at the window or you can buy your tickets ahead of time at parisautospeedway.com.
Night of Destruction. That sounds like fun. Are you going, Michelle?
I think I will. Yes. Okay. I think I will. I think I can make it. I might have some things to do. Yes.
It's a good time. Okay. Yes. Go ahead.
I was going to say I might go out to Industry Hills Speedway.
That's right. Industry Hills, classier event. More degrees in the crowd, perhaps. I'm not saying, you know, don't want to slander our good friends in this.
You don't want to be a snob.
Area.
Any race is a good race.
All right.
And support your local racetrack. That's what we always say.
If you don't want to do either one of those tonight at the Peterson, there's a group called Big Time, but they might also be called Big Time, Big Time, you know, twice. They like the name so much. They said it twice. It's movie night. At El Pete tonight, see Too Fast, Too Furious at the Peterson. Roll in at 6 p.m. Movie starts at 8. You'll meet a bunch of very interesting characters. These are two guys. It took me forever to find these things because apparently I'm too old to be navigating on the internet. But it turns out there are two guys, alumni from Donut Media, the guys who do the wacky videos. So Zach Joby, if I'm saying that right, and Jeremiah Burton left Donut Media and started Big Time, or perhaps Big Time, Big Time, which is what it says on their, that's their website, bigtimebigtime.com. That's where you go to get the $35 tickets. It sounds like it could be, if you like doing engine swaps on Sylvias, that's the type of crowd that we're looking at here. These are not hot rodders, not muscle car guys, not French cars of the 30s. No, this is a Fast and Furious crowd, and that's probably why they chose the movie Too Fast, Too Furious. So if you like those kinds of guys and you like those kinds of cars and you like the movie, who doesn't like Too Fast, Too Furious? Go to the Peterson tonight, and pay your $35 at bigtimebigtime.com. And they're even going to sell T-shirts, which appears to be where they make most of their money. I don't know. Mm. All right.
So, I was kind of wondering, because Donut Media seems to have quieted down, and now I know why.
Maybe it's because those two guys left. I don't know. Anyway,
I'm willing to speculate on that.
Tonight,
sounds interesting.
Tomorrow morning, you can go to Carcadia, which is an event that we promote because we like the name. It's held in Arcadia, and it's about cars. Ha ha. Very funny. That's July 27th, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. in the city of Arcadia, 733 West Naomi. It's right in front of a Starbucks, so there will actually be coffee there. Shore Shifters, if you're down in Long Beach, also tomorrow morning, Shore Shifters Cars and Coffee is at, now I say Wanipero Beach. Michelle's is, what is the name? How do you say that name?
Well, it's Junipero.
Okay, Junipero. All right, beach in Long Beach from 8 to 10 a.m. Always good crowd there. You might even meet Dave Coleman, the world's smartest man. He'll be there wandering around, possibly with a Miata. Who knows? It's in the public parking lot below the Long Beach Museum of Art, and it's only $2. And they don't insist on any particular kind of car. You know, they'll let you in with just about anything. Okay, what else do we have? Also, Sunday, tomorrow, Cars and Paws edition, P-A-W-S. Dean, you're an animal rights advocate.
Yeah, that sounds like a Dean event.
It sounds like a Dean event. Illest Cars and Coffee. Illest, that's a term that the kids are using. That means good. It's a good car. So illest, I guess they say, oh, that's the illest bro or whatever they use now. I've lost track of it. I lost track of it. I don't think I ever had it. It's presented by Illest Slammed Sundays. So that is tomorrow, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. And the location, wouldn't it be nice if I had put the location in this? I didn't put the location. I'll get that while, Michelle, you talk about your Subaru event, and I'll look up Illest Cars and Coffee.
Well, right. If you're a Subi freak, you got to go to Subi Fest. Right, Dean?
Yes.
Got to go once a year. And this time, it's Saturday, August 2nd. New time, though. Instead of going in the morning, they're doing this from 2 p.m. to 9 p.m. So don't show up in the morning, because you'll just be there with all the vendors and everyone else setting up, and you'll have to wait till 2 o'clock to get in. And so don't do that. Also, they have a new location. It's going to be at Santa Anita Racetrack in Arcadia. It will not be where it's been, obviously, for the last few years at Irwindale or at Auto Club Speedway, because those two places are in the history books, unfortunately. So, and why the new time? Well, because they think it is going to be better for the heat to have it in the afternoon. All right. So what will they have there? They're, in addition to everyone showing off their Subarus, there's going to be a 45-foot double-decker event trailer, and they're going to have racing simulators in there. And you can drive one of their, you can pretend to drive the Air Slayer, and you can pick a real-life race course to drive it on. You know, you've got your choice of different tracks. There's going to be guest appearances by Subaru hotshots like Travis Pastrana, Rhiannon Gelsomino, Scott Speed, and Bucky Lasek. And they're going to have some display vehicles. They're going to have the 22B. They'll have Bucky Lasek's Betty. And they will have the actual Air Slayer there. And they're going to show off some of their newer, you know, stuff that's in the showrooms, including the Crosstrek Hybrid, which there's a lot of interest in, because this is the first time Subaru's come out with a Crosstrek in a hybrid. So if you want to go, you can buy your tickets for $25 ahead of time at subifest.com. Or if you want to wait and buy them at the gate, it's $30. And if you want to show your car, go to subifest.com and register.
All right.
Will Barclays be there?
The who?
Will the who?
The Barclays.
The Barclays.
The Subaru Dogs. Come on.
Oh, my goodness. That wasn't in all the PR stuff.
It's Strange. Okay, yeah. I found the address for Illust Cars and Coffee. That is tomorrow, Sunday night, from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. at 619 South Anderson Street in Los Angeles. It's a celebration of the AE86. Dean, you worked with a Japanese car company or two. Tell us what the AE86 is.
The famous Toyota. So,
okay, very well said, Dean. Thank you. Well, that's why we have you on.
I keep using specifics of Toyota products because I know I'll get it wrong.
Yes, the 86.
It is the rear drive Corolla that popularized drifting first in Japan and then in. And then it came over here. Okay. All right. There's a whole bunch of other stuff. But we're out of time for this week. Oh, I want to plug just one thing. There's a tuner in Japan called Liberty Walk that does these crazy customs. They take an F40 and they cut the fenders on it, put their own fenders. They lower it. They do all this stuff. They've done things like that to a Lamborghini Miura, these, you know, $1 million. It's like the Mona Lisa, and you spray paint a new hat on it or something. But it looks really, really cool. They are going to be in Alhambra August 2nd. I'm going to go and check them out. August 2nd in Alhambra. The head of Liberty Walk is going to be there. It's a really, really cool event. It's somewhere in this long paragraph of stuff. I have the address. I don't see it, but that's it. We'll tell you more about it next week. We'll have the address then. Yeah.
When you guys send us your information about your events, please include all the information.
Nobody sends us anything. I have to dig this stuff up, and you have to, if you're organizing an event, people put what, when, where. That's all I ask. You'd be amazed. Almost nobody does that. Like this big time guys, it just had a picture of two guys scowling at you. And from that, I had to figure out where it was. So anyway, I take full responsibility for getting that wrong. Okay, on to the news section. So many people complain that we go too long in the calendar section. And I actually was hoping that we would cut that down to 10 minutes, but it went 21 and a half. So anyway, news section, we're going to start off with a new sim racing location. Have either of you guys ever done sim racing?
Yes, absolutely.
Did you get carsick?
No.
I get carsick in those things.
You did?
Can't stand them. Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know. But anyway, so there are already several sim racing locations here in Los Angeles. There's World of Racing in Pasadena. There's Circuit Sim Racing in Woodland Hills. The Porsche Experience Center down there by the 405 and the 110, they have a sim that they have set up. And let's see, there is Los Virtuality, which
is Los Virtuality.
Isn't that cool? There is a new location now in Santa Clarita called Focus Sim Racing, located right across the street from the skate park. Follow them on Instagram at Focus Sim Racing. Very simple. So there you go. Now we are up to date on that. Let's see. What's next? Oh yeah. Should we talk about Faraday Future?
Oh yes. Why don't we? What's going on with Faraday Future?
Faraday Future.
Sure, here we are.
Held a big press event down in downtown Los Angeles, not at their headquarters, in the former Nissan Engineering Building where Dean once worked. They did it, in fact, up in L.A. at a spectacular rooftop location, and they pulled the cover off of a new car that they said was going to compete against the Cadillac Escalade, and this thing, they pulled the wraps off of it, and it was a minivan. It looked like a Japan market minivan. Had an upright front end. It had on the front a big, you couldn't call it a video screen, but it was a screen that would display imagery. Or they showed one scene of a happy family gathered around their minivan at night while the minivan had a campfire going on that screen in the front. They now, you forgive me if if I'm a bit skeptical about these guys, because if you remember the FF91, that was supposed to come out. How many years ago was that, that thing was supposed to come out? I can't even remember. It was
like a decade ago.
Yeah, roughly a decade. And in that decade, they spent, I think, $3.5 billion, and they produced 16 FF91s. And I think most of those went either to employees or to influencers. So I don't know. Now they're saying, okay, this time it's going to be different. They have a manufacturing facility in Hanford, California, and they say they're going to make these minivans. I don't know. So that was one thing that came up last week. Let's talk about the Nethercutt Museum. I think there is still an auction at Hagerty. Hagerty's putting on an auction online. The Nethercutt is selling off 44 cars. Now, these are not their favorite classics. This is not the 20 grand Duesenberg. This is I don't know. They didn't want to downplay the cars very much because they want people to buy them, and they want people to pay a decent market for them. But they are cars that, as one of the guys said, you know, we have 14 Rolls Royces, and that is the last one that we would show. So they've got, but they have a lot of old, weird, funky cars. There's one called a Dort, and one called a Unic, UNIC. I have no idea what they were thinking when they made these names back 100 years ago when these cars came out. As you know, the Nethercutt collection up in Sylmar, California, is known for having just some beautiful, grand American classics. And this, they're selling off some of those, but they're also selling off what you might charitably call mundane cars. So go to Hagerty.com, go to BroadArrow.com, and check that out and see if there's something there that you want. And now, yes, Michelle.
Question on that. Is there a date for the auction, or is this kind of like a rolling auction where
it's,
you just
it's a rolling auction. And so some of the lots will, like in the next week or so, some of the lots will come off. You know, the auction for those will be finished. So you've got from a few days to maybe a week to check that out.
Cool.
But all right. And into our legal file, Michelle is going to take us.
Yes, because guess what Senate Bill 712 is doing? Sitting.
You have to remind everybody what Senate Bill 712 was and who the famous person it's named after.
Yes. So, all right. Senate Bill 712 is a bill sponsored by State Senator Shannon Grove of Bakersfield. She brought this bill forward because of the many, many, many classic car owners in California who have cars that were made after 1976 and are not covered by the smog exemption. And they were asking, could you please do something about this so that all of us with older cars can actually get our cars on the road and not have to worry about trying to find a smog station, because there are no smog stations that have the equipment to test older vehicles. And so it's very, very hard if you are one of these classic car owners that uses your vehicle for show, entertainment, parades, and the like. And so she brought this bill forward, and Jay Leno stepped up and has been doing a lot of publicity to get the bill rolling. And so they've been calling it Leno's Law. So if you want to Google what it's all about, just plug in Leno's Law or Senate Bill 712.
What changed?
Yeah, it was supposed to be where cars that were 35 years and older would end up getting the exemption. But then it went through these committees and it got watered down. It got watered down with a couple of provisions that people don't like. And one of them was you have to have a historical vehicle plate, which means if you're one of those guys that has, you know, your historical brown and yellow plate, or you have the yellow and blue plate from the 80s. Like, I still have one in my garage from one of my old cars. You know, they don't want to remove those. They don't want to have to put on a historical vehicle plate. And then the other provision that was added is you have to have your Hagerty insurance for your classic car. So it has to be stored inside and meet all the provisions for the Hagerty insurance to cover it. And then
that's
the
not
third,
just Hagerty though, right?
I mean, classic car insurance. Yes, I should qualify that. Thank you, Mark. any classic car insurance, but they all have their own little specific requirements. So that adds another layer of burden to the owner and cost. And so the third problem was when it went through the transportation committee recently, last week, they didn't like the long provision. And it got amended so that it would only actually help cars that go through 1985. So say like you have a Miata, which started in 1990, that would not be considered a classic car under this bill and therefore exempt from the smog requirements. So you'd still get your smog certificate required with your registration. And so it's kind of stalled right now, and it's going through the assembly. It has one more hurdle to go through. Then it has to go through a vote with the entire state assembly, and then it can go to the governor for signature. So the pundits are saying things like, you know, it's not worth it. Shannon Grove should just pull it at this point, but she's not going to. She's going to keep it going, and she figures this is a small victory. If all she can get is 10 years, then that's better than what she had before. Thoughts?
Bummer.
Yeah.
Bummer, man. Dean, did you ever work in emissions in your many car companies?
No, just other than electric vehicles, which, you know,
have no emissions.
Yeah. And well, no tailpipe emissions, so.
Oh, yeah. Emissions law is Byzantine.
Yeah.
They have whole departments of car companies working on that. And the Europeans have whole departments trying to figure out what our emissions laws are. And the laws are different from theirs. Europeans don't want CO2. We do not want NOx because California doesn't like NOx because California is smog and blah, 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 blah. So it's a mess. And this was an attempt to clean that up for old cars. There are not that many old cars, and the ones that are out there are not driven that often. I don't drive my pile of junk Lancia that often, a couple times a year. So why should that have to pass smog? Actually, it doesn't have to pass smog, I don't think. But anyway.
I actually watched the entire session on that, and that was one of the points that Senator Grove raised, was that it's 1% of all the registered vehicles would fall into this category.
I'm surprised it's that much. I bet it's less 1%. Than 1%. Yeah. Anyway, tough break, California classic car owners. Thank you, Michelle, for that update. And we're going to move to a much tastier story next, because I went to, for you, the listener, I went to the Tesla Diner, and it has just opened at 7001 Santa Monica Boulevard in West Hollywood. That is indeed on classic Route 66, and the site of a former Shakey's Pizza Parlor was bulldozed by, I guess there's no like historian, then nobody was standing in front of the bulldozer saying, how dare you, because Shakey's it was awful, no. Man.
My whole childhood's getting bulldozed.
Yeah. So they tore that down and they put up this circular, looks like a spaceship. And the spaceship is called the Tesla Diner. And they serve hamburgers and hot dogs and all kinds of stuff. It is surrounded by 80 V4 superchargers. And the day I was there, which was, I don't know if it was the second day that it was open or something, every supercharger space was full. And the line, it took me 2 hours of waiting to get in to order. And I ate a Tesla burger. And it was very good. I want to tell you, it was good. And I was sitting there next to where they serve the food out. So it's like you order it and you go in, and then they put it on this tray or in a bag or whatever. And you either take it out to your car, or actually, if you bring a Tesla, you can order on the screen in your Tesla, and they will roller skate it out to your car. Isn't that nice of them? And but I ate in, and you go up to the roof, and they promise you a 360-degree view of Los Angeles. That is wildly overstated. You can see air conditioning ducts on buildings across the street, and you can see a large condo development on one side of it, and you can see some people wandering around on the street down on
South. Welcome to LA. Yeah.
Yeah. But it is good food. And I spent, I think the hamburger I had was $13.50. And I had a drink, which was basically just a cup of sugar water, and that was like $8. So I got out of there for, Dean, you're good at math. What's 13 plus 8? $25 plus tax, 26.
Did you tip?
Yeah, what about...
No, there was no capacity to tip. I understand that they include a 20% gratuity for the workers there, which is then split up among whoever's working that day. I don't know. But anyway... I enjoyed it. And of course, as it's over time, there will not be a 2 hour wait. It is open 24 hours a day, and they have two drive-in movie screens, 66 foot long or wide or tall LED mega screens that the whole time I was there, they were showing science fiction. So I saw like, Rod Serling, Twilight Zone, Star Trek Next Generation, Star Trek First Generation. It was wonderful stuff, and it's a cool place, open 24 hours a day. I recommend it. Elon or not. Yes. Your question.
What if you were one of the Tesla, you were on the charger and it took you 2 hours to get your food? Like, is there a time limit for charging, staying on the charger?
That is a problem, isn't it? That is a problem. But like I say, I think it just opened, so it's still very exciting, and everybody's, you know, clamoring to get in there. I think that over time, it will all sort of even out. And do charge you, as in most electric vehicle chargers, there's a fee once your car is 100% full. If you're still plugged in, they start charging you, I don't know, 50 cents an hour. Dean, you know what that is. You're an engineer.
I don't do any level. When I've had EVs, I never did level 3 charging because it was so bloody expensive.
Yeah, it's still bloody expensive. It was like 50 cents a kilowatt hour, and I think it has gone up from there. It's not cost efficient.
Yeah.
By the way, Mark did an article that appeared today in Auto Week, so you can go check it out at autoweek.com and check out his photo of the little box that the burgers and food come in. It's shaped like a little Cybertruck.
It is so cute.
Somebody commented, well, if the Cybertruck really had those proportions like in the burger box, they would probably sell better.
Ha! And I think that that Cybertruck cardboard box that the burger comes in, I think that probably has more structural rigidity than the real Cybertruck. But that's just a guess, because Elon shut down the press department and the press fleet, and
never know. Yeah,
I'm not going to spend however many thousands of dollars it is to buy a Cybertruck. Dean, have you driven a Cybertruck?
No, I have avoided them.
Okay. So anyway, that is open right now, 7001 Santa Monica Boulevard in West Hollywood. And Michelle is going to take us up the coast of California for our next news item.
All right. We had a report from the Big Sur State Parks people that Highway 1 is still closed at Regent's Slide.
That's south of Big Sur.
South of Big Sur. Yeah, south of the Julia Pfeiffer Burns State Park. And that closure is 6 miles long. They wanted to announce, just in case, you know, I guess because it's summer and people are doing road trips, but there is no opening date yet for that to be reopened.
Yeah.
So, but the businesses remain open. So this is difficult for these people who have businesses in Big Sur. All right. They were saying no detour, but Mark says there is an awesome detour that you actually
totally awesome.
Take.
And all three of us have driven on it. It is a Ferguson Nacimiento Road, narrow, dangerous, but extraordinarily scenic. So you have to weigh the risks. You know, is it worth near death on every blind corner on this barely wider than one lane road or what? And
yes, of course it is.
It is worth it. It is worth it. Dean, you drove on it, right?
Yeah, we did it when I was working for Nissan. We did a press event that used that route. So we did the lunch stop there. I believe we had the lunch stop there in the base, Fort Hunter Liggett.
Ooh. Yeah. Fort Hunter Liggett is really cool. First of all, there's Mission San Antonio de Padua, an actual California mission, when you get up over the coastal range. But you drive through Fort Hunter Liggett, and I've driven through there many times. Sometimes you see them doing live tank firing exercises. There's a tank practice range there. I've seen a C-130 land, and like 100 guys get out of it with camo and helmets and rifles. It's just, I'm not guaranteeing this will happen when you drive through, but it's really cool. Really cool. And then you can cut back to Highway 1 on G16, which turns into Carmel Valley Road. So,
which is also beautiful. Really beautiful. Yeah.
I was like, don't take that highway at night, though. That would be.
Well, yeah. No, I will say, Dean, the advantage of doing it at night is you can see the headlights coming from far away. So you know a car is coming. And then you just like you pull off if there's at the one or two spaces wide enough to pull off and wait for the other car to come, leaving your headlights on.
Yeah. I don't know.
And we have finally, let's just start with the Blue Palisades VW bus. Remember that Volkswagen bus that seemed to have survived the fire? Michelle told us, you have an update on that.
I did, because this was a really intriguing story, because some people said it wasn't even true that, you know, that this blue VW bus, you know, from the 60s had survived the Palisades fire. But it is real. It is a true story. It's not phony baloney. And VW has stepped up and they're going to fix it up for the owner and get rid of all the evidence of the fire for them. So we picked up the phone and got on with our VW rep, Nicole, and she told us the restoration is happening. The team in Oxnard has been disassembling the entire vehicle to prep it for body work and paint. Lots of work ahead for the team, but they are very organized, and their plan is to have it finished up by the end of this year for that owner. And I think that is an awesome story.
That is a feel-good story indeed. And let's see. Can we do the TV story next week, Michelle?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
We'll
skip right ahead to another fire story. And as we all know, there was terrible fires in both Pacific Palisades and in Altadena this year. And I don't live too far away from Altadena. And there has been, out of that, a lot of people lost a lot there. I think it was 6,000 homes, churches, schools, businesses, 17 lives lost. A lot of very serious things that were lost there. But in addition to that, a lot of people lost their collector cars. And so this one guy went around and started taking pictures to sort of just document this. Dave Stone, he lives two blocks away from Altadena. He started walking around, and his house survived the fire. But he would walk around and meet people and see the cars and take pictures. And he started posting pictures on Instagram. And from that, he just started talking to everybody. And he has done a lot of very remarkable things. He, like, one guy had just bought his dream car, which I think was a 1984 Corvette. The Corvette, of course, was destroyed in the fire. And so this Dave Stone guy started a GoFundMe, and they located an 84 Corvette. A shipping company donated the shipping across the country, and he got it back to a guy who had lost his car. And so these people gather once a week in Altadena out in front, in the parking lot in front of the old Rite Aid right off of Lake Street there, and they have a car show on Saturday mornings from 8 to 10. And I went and visited it, talked to a lot of the guys. I saw the guy's name was Danny Robinson, and he's there. You can look at my story at autoweek.com. And Danny Robinson standing next to his new replacement Corvette, his dream car, as he said. He also lost a 66 Pontiac GTO and a 62 Chevy Impala in addition to the Corvette. He's got the Corvette back now, though, so... And they all just get together. Some people lost their homes, but the car show is cathartic for him. One guy I met up there named Oscar, he says it's not a gathering. It's more a relationship. So good for them. He was there with his 65 Mustang. So go check that out on just off of Lake and in front of the old Rite Aid store there in Altadena. It's very nice. Heartwarming. Uplifting story.
Yes, that's right. Good for them that they found each other for support, and I wish them all the best in their recovery.
Yeah, it's really sad in some ways because, you know, most of the burned out houses, they've been cleaned off, but there's as far as I have seen, I have not seen any new construction of new houses. One of the guys there, he had a really nice Cadillac that was a Fleetwood Brougham that he had put hydraulics on, and it was doing the bouncing stuff. That morning he was going to meet with, I think it was a builder about, restoring, his house on his lot there in Altadena. So a lot of stories like that. And if you're feeling generous, don't hesitate to, contribute to KPFK, where we need your money to keep our transmitter going. Our transmitter, actually, there was a fire a couple of years ago that came close to Mount Wilson, but the brave firefighters defended that land and kept communication going, communication and entertainment going in Southern California, saved the transmitters. Now we're asking you to help save the transmitter too. We need donations to get a new transmitter up on top of Mount Wilson. We have a matching grant already of $25,000, and all we need to do is gather from you $25,000 more dollars to get the total of $50,000 that we need to do the transmitter work that has to be done. If you want to donate, please don't hesitate to call KPFK at 818-985-5735 or donate online at kpfk.org/donate.
And don't forget, if you have an extra car laying around or a trailer or a boat, I just found this out, they'll take a boat too. You can call their dedicated donation line for automobiles, boats, and trailers, 877-573-5288. So 877-573-5288 for those donations.
Donate a car.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. A good cause, a worthy cause. You know your money's going to go right for what they say it is. It's not going to be scooped off the top by, some administrator. It will go straight to getting us a new transmitter, which we desperately need. Every now and then the signal actually stops transmitting for a while until they can,
We lost a show one time for that.
Yeah, we did. We lost a show. All our hard work. But it is still broadcast on kpfk.org.
And it's in the archives, right? You can always go to the archives.
It is in the archives. Okay. A couple of reviews this week. I just got back from driving the Audi A6 Sportback e-tron. Now, as you know, there's already an A6, sort of a sedan, and the Q6 crossover. This is now the Sportback version. So it has that swoopy rear glass. We, in Europe, they probably call it a hatchback, but we here in America tend not to like hatchbacks. Dean, in your experience, would you say that the hatchback is not a popular body style among American buyers?
It should be. I like function. I wish I'm part of that group of once more wagons.
Yep. Yep. Well, maybe we're dinosaurs.
It could be. I mean, I've never necessarily picked popular cars throughout my life.
They are very practical, and they can be very fun, especially if you get a small one. This one, I was really surprised at. During our drive, we got both of them were Quattros. We got the A6 Sportback e-tron, and we got the S6 Sportback e-tron. Now, the S6, of course, is the more sporty version, has more horsepower. It's supposed to, stiffer suspension, faster steering, et cetera, et cetera. But during the drive, I shared the car with the inimitable, great automotive thinker, John Perley Huffman. Remember him, Dean?
P. Huff.
Yes. And we were driving on the mountains above Santa Barbara, California. And I got to say, I like the A6 much more than the S6. The steering was just magical. You know, there's that cliche that when they talk about shifters, it's like butter. But this is better than butter, I would say. So if you're in the market for this, I would say to get the A6. And they even offer the A6 in your choice of rear drive or all-wheel drive. I only drove the all-wheel drive version of it, so I can't say. But I understand from those who have driven the rear drive that that is really the setup that you want. So it's unusual that you would get a choice here where the best car is really the cheapest car in that lineup. Now, how cheap? Well, okay, it's not, you're not gonna, it's a lot of money. All right, let me scroll down here, see exactly what these things cost. Prices start at $67,195. So you're definitely in the luxury car field, but you are getting a luxury car out of this. So I would say
it's an EV, right?
It is an EV. It's an electric car.
Yes.
So Audi is still sticking with electric vehicles. Now, Mercedes recently announced that they were going to, what would they say, pause importation of electric vehicles on some electric vehicles from Mercedes. Audi has not said that. They are still going great guns on this. There are three different drivetrains. A single motor rear-wheel drive is 375 horsepower. The dual motor A6 e-tron Sportback is 456 horsepower, and the S Sportback e-tron is 543 horsepower. Now, this is kind of another nice thing, cool thing, interesting thing about this that I also learned at the Tesla diner was that the Audi runs on an 800-volt system with 270-kilowatt max DC charging capacity. Dean, you know all the advantages of higher voltage. Tell us what they are.
There's some efficiency gains, but here again, I think a lot of it, until we get better batteries and more charging network out there in level two. Personal opinion, I think we waste too much time talking about level three charging. We need level two charging in apartments in older neighborhoods, because otherwise no one can buy the used EVs, you know, and the lower price ones, like the Slate truck. I think the Slate, you mentioned the Cybertruck. I'm waiting for the Slate. I want to drive that one.
Well, now the Slate is going to be, what did we say, Michelle, last week, that the $7,500 federal tax credit for purchasing a new EV is going away. So
September 30th. Yes.
September 30th. Okay. And there is no Slate truck yet to buy. So they were, what were they talking about the price, Dean, of the Slate truck?
Well, it was going to be $27,500. So it'd be $20,000 out the door with the tax credit. So we'll see. I mean, but I love the concept of a super small, efficient, you know, EV with no frills. The fact that, you know, it doesn't have a big touchscreen. You know, you just bring in your own iPad or phone. I think there's a lot of creative thinking on that Slate. I hope they do well.
Were you there that night when they showed it off?
No, I wasn't. But okay. I'm talking about having an SAE presentation, so I got a little tour through their studio.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Did you bring SAE engineers on the tour? Or
no, I just went myself as recon, trying to get them to do a presentation for our phone.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at least that was your subversive your story.
Yeah. No, SAE opens a lot of doors, so yeah.
Yeah, I bet.
Hey, you could work at Slate, Dean.
So.
No, okay. Well, I was there that night that they introduced the Slate, and I think we talked about it on the show back when they did it several months ago. And that car is small, but I got to sit inside it, so it's got enough headroom. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not lacking for space. It's not you're getting in an old Renault pickup truck from the 50s. It is there was headroom. I could recline the seat to the angle that I felt comfortable driving. It was very, very simple, very barren. I think instead of having a screen like an LCD. Dean, help me out. What is it? LED or LCD screen?
They use all the different. I was funny. I just bought a new TV and I had to learn all the QLED.
Anyway, they did not have the screen in that car to save money. What they figured everybody has a phone, and so they're just going to put a phone mount there, and you plug in your phone and you do CarPlay or Android or
whatever. Play your own music. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one of the ways that they saved money. Right. So And they also showed that night with the Slate, they showed a bunch of technicians. They brought one up in pickup truck form And then during the evening, they bolted it on the roof and the back half of it in order to make it into an SUV. They wanted to show how quickly that could be done. And there's lots of room for modularity on that truck. So I don't know. Maybe Dean will have something. Maybe Dean will buy a Slate. Are you going to buy one, Dean?
I might. I like, you know, no one makes a small pickup truck. I mean, I went shopping.
Talos is still in business. Canoe's out of business. Bollinger's out of business.
You'd have to go for the little Maverick, right? The Ford Maverick.
Well, that's a four-door. I want a Cab Plus. I want a 1990s size Nissan hardbody King Cab.
Well, you could probably find one on, you know, a trailer.
I want something new. So
yeah. Is it possible to put down a deposit right now for a Slate, or do you have to wait?
No, they're
I think you can. I think it's like $100 or something. It's
no, $50.
$50.
Oh, shoot. I might do that just for the heck of it.
Yeah.
Well, I like that Talos, if I'm saying it right, T-E-L-O-S. That looked pretty cool. Our friend Ed Lowe put down a deposit on that, I understand.
Okay.
And I really love the Canoe. I wanted to buy one of those just because it looked so cool. But they unfortunately did not make it. Talos, I believe, is still hanging on.
Yeah.
Faraday Future's making a minivan. Who knows, man?
Who knows what's
strange. Very, very strange time.
I'm still waiting for somebody to come out with an EV version of like a Miata.
I'm sure there's a kit to do that.
I could probably go talk to our friend Zelectric down there, but I think that the body is too small.
Well, Mazda built a couple of electric Miatas in the early 90s over in Japan.
Oh.
Were they thinking of selling that?
Well, I mean, that was back when the original ZEV mandate from 1990. Remember, by 1998, 2% of all cars in California were supposed to be zero emissions. And so everyone was panicking in the early 90s on what are we going to do? You know, but you couldn't have put enough batteries of 1990 technology in a Miata makeup.
Right. Exactly. It would weigh 4,000 pounds just for the batteries.
You wouldn't physical space. Yeah. It wasn't so much the rate. There's just not.
Whenever I drive around in my.
In your what? In your Miata?
Yeah, because it's not a big car. Right.
No,
but if I'm driving around a Miata and I see like an EV, I always wonder, Yeah.
If you Google electric Miata, AI. AI says that Mazda has confirmed the next generation Miata will be electrified, potentially as a full EV hybrid. This is just a quick search that it is.
Well, there you go.
With a debut expected in 2026.
Yeah.
I have not heard anything about that. And
They're talking about, you know.
Car and Driver had an article last year about a Miata EV conversion kit that looks kind of fun. I mean, it's a natural because it is lightweight. You don't have a lot of room for batteries, as Michelle said. But I think it's an ideal candidate for it. Other than that, if you don't need to go 200 miles or something. Okay, we've got about 30 seconds left on the show. We want to thank Dean Case for sacrificing the entire 58 minutes out of his life to be here and add his engineering prowess and brain power to our normally ignoramus show. Thank you, Dean, for coming on. We want to thank Michelle, Juris Doctorate, who is on here and understands legal terms and often throws them out just like nickels. We want to thank Wendell and Master Control. We want to tell you to stick around for Rhapsody in Black, a great show about music that sounds great in your car. And come back next week, and we will see you on The Car Show.
Now that the KPFK Summer Fun Drive is underway, the money that you've donated for the KPFK transmitter repair campaign has been put to good use by repairing failing transmitter modules and other key components of the transmitter system. Yes, we did match the $25,000 donation. Woohoo! This goes a long way in ensuring that the station will reliably return to full power coverage without interruptions. A long way, but not all the way. We so appreciate all those who've donated towards the matching fund, but there's still a lot more work to be done. The next step is for the KPFK engineering team to take a hard look at our main antenna to guarantee that it can keep us broadcasting at full power once we get there. So if you haven't donated yet to the Transmitter Repair Fund, please call in today at 818-985-5735 and choose option 2 or donate online anytime at kpfk.org.